into the cold night. But this is as good a bat speed, Tom, as we've seen from him for a while. Yeah. Since the first swing in Philadelphia when he came back healthy.
Well, that's a great adjustment. He knows the Royals have been pounding him with velocity, and he gets out in front of this one. Typically, healthy David Wright lets the ball travel a little bit. Get it started early, get it out front. Boy, that went a long way.
To new baseball. Rubs it up, stands on. Looks in with the bases loaded, two out. Cardinals leading 3-1 here in the bottom of the ninth inning. One of the most dangerous hitters in the business at the plate, Carlos Beltran. He is ready. So is Wainwright. The 0-2 delivery. Curve struck him out looking. The Cardinals are going to Michigan to take on the Tigers. They mob Adam Wainwright on the mound. They are National League champions and headed for Detroit as they mob the pitcher. And now Yadier Molina, in comes the bullpenners to pile on. The Cardinals have won this game 3-1 on a two-run home run by their catcher, Yadier Molina. And they're still out on the infield celebrating. What a ball game this has been.
It's another edition of the Talking Mets podcast here on this Tuesday, January the 21st, 2025. Of course, I'm your host, Mike Silva. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You can get me on X at TalkingMets.g and in your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetspodcast.com. No G, Mike Silva at TalkingMetspodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, TalkingMetsNoG. And I'd love for you to subscribe to the newsletter, substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And I want to thank the good folks on the Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to what really is part two to Sunday's show. Come to you actually on the day that the Hall of Fame, big Hall of Fame announcement is coming. And wanted to come to you and have a short show. Kind of give you my Hall of Fame ballot, give you some of my perspective. I think you're going to be a little surprised by a couple of things. And I also think it's starting to become appropriate, and we haven't talked about it, with the retirement of David Wright's number five and Carlos Beltran potentially, and those who grind the numbers, I was listening to MLB Network Radio last night, those who grind the numbers think Beltran has about a 25% chance here of actually making it and being announced later today, what, about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, like around there, somewhere around there. So really on display for the first time, and maybe a team that we put in the closet, the 05, 06, 07, 08 Mets, a team that had so much potential, really heartbreaking, and as I've said many times, has, you know, put the franchise in a tough spot with that yoke that we talked about that maybe finally got smashed with the Lindor home run that went over the wall in Atlanta. So we'll get into that. So nothing really too long, but part two coming to you a little bit later. Wanted to do something yesterday, decided let's do it on the day of the Hall of Fame vote. Wanted to see if any more free agent news came out yesterday. We're going to put free agency in the closet and away you go here. So, you know, that's where we're at. So let's get started here. So we'll start off with a little bit of a Mets flair, David Wright, Carlos Beltran. And what's interesting, and it's really the part of this whole process, and I'll get to in a minute, just in case you're listening for the first time, how I do my Hall of Fame vote. For years, we've done this show, and I don't have a vote. You know, the BBWAA, I'm not a member of that. They don't put radio guys like me in. Although over the years, they've put in internet or non-traditional media. That's not my angle. But I sit here, I tell you how I look at the players, how I would vote. My vote has evolved a lot over the years. It's very nuanced now. And I think when you look at David Wright and you look at David Wright's support which if you look at publicly available ballots, you know, Ryan Thibodeau, who's no longer on X, had to go over to Blue Sky to find him. That's not Mr. Tibbs that always collects these ballots. Right now has 11% of the vote. And you say, Mike, well, you know, what's the big deal? He's nowhere near election. I'm not saying Wright will get election, but Wright has actually, and it looks like he's going to be safe to continue staying on the ballot, staying above, it looks like, that he needs to, you know, be on next year's ballot and everything. And it really goes to show you, Wright, a great guy, worked well with the media, how this thing, and when we get to CeCe Sabathia, you're going to see it more and more, is really a popularity contest. And that kind of annoys me a little bit, because to give you off the bat, when I do any kind of Hall of Fame criteria, there's obviously the total numbers, the 3,000 hits, the 500 homers, the 300 wins. I like to see a period of dominance. I'd like it to be a decade. I look at precedent, but that's something over the time I've started to say, hey, just because this player, Jim Bunning's a Hall of Famer, that doesn't mean I have to put the same player who's in that bandwidth into the Hall of Fame. Historic moments matter. I think how you play into the course of baseball history, like what Roger Maris and what he did, how teams perform around you, your contribution to championship teams, your contribution to baseball history. Look at Bill Mazeroski. It matters. I'm not getting to the character. It's about on the field. I mean, look, I don't want serial killers in the Hall of Fame, but at some point, you're here to judge the player. If I start getting down into the character thing, that's a slippery slope. I'd like players who are complete on both sides of the ball. That's something that you have to get a little more nuanced. And I try to combine traditional stats with advanced metrics. I'm not just going to Baseball Reference and looking at WAR and saying, okay, that's you know, that's a Hall of Famer. There's the line. Jay Jaffe does that with Jaws to a certain degree, but I think he's blending it in. That's not what I'm all about. We're having fun here. So anytime we talk about a Hall of Fame player, just remember those things. This will also be up on Beyond the Mic for paid subscribers. You could see a little bit more about it. One other quick note, and while we were all talking about Juan Soto and the Juan Soto signing at the winter meetings, Dave Parker and Dick Allen made the Hall of Fame. Dick Allen, absolutely a Hall of Famer. I'll get to that in a minute. Dave Parker, I'm not so sure. So first, Wright and Beltran. So what's been interesting is that I started doing radio back in 2007. My first show was after opening day 2007 on 1240 AM WGBB Long Island. And I was in the infancy of the old NY Baseball Digest, and I followed and had discussion, much different media landscape, independent media landscape, the 07, 08, and obviously as a fan of the Mets, followed the 06 Mets. And that three periods in baseball history where David Wright did his most damage, and at that point, everybody thought was going to be a Hall of Famer. He was right up there with the other great third baseman. Basically, you had Eddie Matthews at third base. Mets fans didn't realize they had Eddie Matthews at third base. His 07 season, one of the best in Mets history. We were having that conversation when Lindor was going on his MVP run earlier this year. And what up this year? It's 2025 now. I got to get used to that still. Even though it's almost the end of January, I still got to get used to that. But when the Mets collapsed in 07 and had the disappointing end to 08 and then moved to Citi Field and things got really bad, and 09 and 10 was more about the dysfunction of the organization, Omar Minaya, I think, you know, with Beltran's injury, Wright having issues with Citi Field, the Matt Cain beating, and then subsequently having the back issues that came after. Any good that happened and the fun, and not everything, just because you had a couple of bad weeks at the end of the year in 07 and 08, that doesn't take away that those were 06, 07, 08 were teams that had some really good players, had some fun moments. The way 06 ended, a season that maybe outside of 86, nothing went bad. I mean, even when there were injuries, Pedro going down, El Duque going down right before the postseason, the Mets found a way to win and to make it interesting. And in the end, they got beat by a veteran ball club. Another player that we'll talk about, Billy Wagner, I think had a lot to do with it. And I think at that point, when Beltran struck out and it kind of changed his legacy in a Mets uniform, for the worse, the love affair ended. It's one of those weird things. And I think now that we're past that and how Wright's career ended and how frustrating it was to see him just disintegrate after 2015, the couple of years he tried to make it back, obviously money played into that, but how he just came back for that one game in 18 just to say goodbye. It was almost like pulling him out of the stands to, you know, have that final hurrah. We put that in the closet, and over the last 5 or 6 years, it's been about, obviously, ownership changes, moving away from the disappointments, everything that has to do with the franchise on the field, big free agents, overcoming negative history. You don't talk about Wright as much. Now, that'll change this year. You don't talk about 06, 07, 08. I mean, it's a period of Mets history. You talk about the 90s. You talk about the 80s. Shoot, we still talk and hear fans talk about 2015. But bring up 06. Ooh, bring up 07. God forbid. 08 gets totally forgotten. And I think that you have to look back. And, I mean, this is the height of David Wright. We brought it up a little bit last year. Reyes was on the ballot. He fell off really quick. I don't think fans, and there are some younger fans that may, you know, if you're at this point, you're like 20 years old, you may have been a little bit too young to really appreciate 06 because you were just pretty much born. But when you had Wright and Reyes on the left side of the infield with a gold glove center fielder, a power hitting, an elite power hitting first baseman, you think Pete Alonso has power? Delgado had every bit that power as a left-handed power hitting first baseman. And then some really good component players like Paul Laduca, Johan Santana as an ace joined the group. Glavine, end of the career Hall of Famer, doing his best Whitey Ford impression, joined the group. You had flashes of Pedro. You had a really fun team, and the 06 team from the jump, first year of SNY, was focused on one goal under Willie Randolph, and that was winning a championship. It was a team that was kind of cobbled together after the disappointment of 04. Nothing seemed further away than a Mets championship in just 2 years earlier when they traded Scott Kazmir at the deadline, and he was brought up by Tampa and striking everybody out, and you just said, wow, the Mets did it again. They traded the next Nolan Ryan. Now, that wasn't exactly what happened. Kazmir had his own issues, but that team was put in the closet, and now that Wright is being properly honored, and you could debate, is Beltran the best player in team history? Is Strawberry the best player in team history? You want to go pitcher, you know, obviously Seaver. But from a positional player, let's just call it positional players, you have to say, and maybe it's a bit arguable, but forget about the numbers, homegrown, both sides of the ball, adding the component of speed, leadership, the captaincy, all this stuff that you want to put in the brew, David Wright is the gold standard of positional players in Mets history, and that's the bar that will be set going forward. Now, is Lindor that? Lindor has some of those qualities. I think he's not a homegrown player. He came later on. I think that's what made Wright so special. I think that's why Wright's in the pantheon. And assuming that Pete Alonso doesn't re-sign with the Mets, he's going to be, what, second all-time in home runs. So he's still going to be up there in team history. But this is not about numbers right now. It's about the fact that Wright, young player, came up and the franchise, and it was more than just Wright, but the franchise changed immediately. He came up late in 04 in the midst of all that disappointment. And then the following year, you know, he started out batting lower in the order. And little by little, he was put into the middle of the order. And by 06, he was one of the best players in baseball. He was Eddie Mathews, Ken Boyer. We mentioned Ken Boyer when it was the Veterans Committee earlier this year. So I think, although Wright's not a Hall of Famer, he's a sports Greek tragedy. He was Chipper Jones. He was, like I said, Eddie Mathews. He was Wade Boggs. Every big, and probably in the end, he would have had the same, I think, if he stayed healthy, career trajectory that Scott Rolen had. I think there was some similarities there. It ended around age 25. You guys know, Citi Field, Matt Cain beanie. The back ultimately did him in. He gave you one last ray of sunshine in 2015 when he came back in August and helped the Mets win a pennant. That's not enough to be a Hall of Famer, but that's enough to celebrate. And this, in line with Mets history, it's always like, what could have been? And maybe this is a larger debate, But Wright really is somebody. When you look at all the what-ifs in Mets history, Ryan, the 1980s, what possibly could have done better after 69, the worst team money can buy, winning the 2000 World Series, 06, obviously, the team 06, 2015. We could go on and on, 2022, what could have happened? What if Scherzer and Verlander weren't broken down? Wright, to me, is the ultimate what-if in team history. If Wright had stayed healthy, the Mets would have had a bona fide, their first homegrown positional player. Beltran will get in. We know that. But he's not a homegrown positional player. And I think Wright will go down as the biggest what-if. And with Beltran, the what-if there is, I could still see it now. That at-bat that everybody criticizes Beltran. I mean, here's a guy who is a Hall of Famer, who's getting dinged really because of off-the-field stuff, the sign-stealing situation. And that's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. I mean, here's a guy, 2,700 hits, 300 stolen bases, 453 home runs. If he didn't have a knee injury later in his career, I think he gets the 500 home run mark. His postseasons were historic, whether it be with the Mets, quietly in 2006. Everybody remembers the strikeout. They don't remember the the home runs and just all over the place with his offense. Houston, the reason he got that big contract for the Mets is that he went in that crazy postseason run in Houston in 2004. I think it's going to be close. I'm not sure he gets in. I think they're going to punish him another year or so. But everybody remembers that curveball, that Hall of Fame curveball from Adam Wainwright. And if you look at that at bat, and I've watched it many times, and I cringe. And I'm sure if you ever, I don't know if anyone's ever talked to Beltran pitch by pitch or watched that. It'd be interesting to talk to him and watch that at bat pitch by pitch. When Wainwright, in trouble, bases loaded, two outs. Now, he had struck out Cliff Floyd earlier in the inning. Reyes nearly hit a liner that Edmonds came in and got, you know, a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right. That goes up the gap, a different game. But there's a lot of what-ifs that inning. But he pumps in a fastball that Beltran takes. I could still envision Beltran getting aggressive, like he had against Isringhausen and hit a game-winning home run, just a few months earlier off the Cardinals. Taking that fastball, driving it, maybe for a grand slam home run, maybe in the gap to win the ball game. And the course of Mets history is different. Didn't happen. Beltran got into a pitcher's count, and Wainwright executed a Hall of Fame pitch from a Hall of Famer. A guy that, you know, we'll talk about it later on when he's becoming eligible, but a guy that had a Hall of Fame career and elite pitcher at that time. You didn't know it because he was young and he was coming out of the bullpen. Maybe the Cardinals knew what they had. And the course of Mets history changes. And at that point, Wright, Reyes, Beltran hit their peak and fell off the cliff as a team. But I think now, it's almost two decades later, you put a lot of the bad feelings aside. You put the Manaea dysfunction aside, the issues you had with Willie Randolph, Willie in the media, how the rosters were built and they weren't supported in some way, shape, or form, how the farm systems were thin. It was truly, look, give Omar Manaea credit. He put together those teams, basically put it together. He becomes the GM after Duquette and all the situation that happened in 04. And, you know, Steve Phillips was fired a couple of years earlier. You were moving away from the late 90s veteran clubs that were under Bobby Valentine. And his missive was, how can you not only put the Mets back on the map and make them interesting when you have the Yankees pulling further and further away, putting together these dominant teams, teams that didn't win championships, but were star-studded up and down the pitching staff and the lineup. Maybe stars at the end of their careers, but star-studded. And he put a team together. One of the first moves was getting Pedro Martinez, and that was a shocker away from the champion Red Sox. And despite the negativity, they were a lot of fun. Watching the 06 Mets, even when they struggled, the 07 and the 08 Mets, they were a lot of fun. They were newsworthy. It would have been fascinating how this show would have been if we were doing it during those times. I'm sure there would have been a lot of debate, a lot of anger. I had my moments too, starting out doing my independent media. So, look, Wright's not a Hall of Famer. Beltran clearly is. He's one of the guys I put on my ballot. And I think hopefully this year as we go further and further, and maybe we'll do some segments as we get closer on Wright, it's not only about David Wright. It's about, hey, can we remember the fun of the Reyes, Wright, Beltran, Delgado, what they used to call sometimes Los Mets, those Mets teams, Santana, things like that. So, you know, that's where I wanted to start this thing off, a little ode to the 06 Mets. Wright will not be a Hall of Famer. It is nice to see that the media is recognizing that short part of his career to keep him on the ballot. What does annoy me is that it shows how the media also is very politicized when it comes to this process. Because if Wright didn't talk to them, even if he wasn't a bad guy, you know, Wright's a great guy, but if he was even if he wasn't a bad guy, just an aloof guy, I wonder if he'd get even an ounce of this support. So, all right, we already kind of know one of the first that are on my ballot. When we come back, there's more Mets connections here when it comes to the Hall of Fame, but I'll give you my official ballot. Wanted to start off with this. We'll be back with more Hall of Fame talk right after this.
So, you know, what team do you play for? We play for, you know, when I said the Yankees, you know, and it kind of gave me a chill. Y'all got a chill right now just saying that, you know, putting on this hat and being here and, you know, opening up the new stadium. It feels great, so.
CC Sabathia's on the mound.
Then CC got the contract because he's one heck of a pitcher, one of the best in all of baseball.
And the Orioles to short, taken by Jeter, and Sabathia works his way out of it.
We have just begun the American League Championship Series. Now Sabathia's 2-2 inside. And a strike called late by McClellan. It was an inside breaking ball. And the ball apparently caught a little bit of the black. Abreu didn't think so.
And it started on the inside part and really did cross right over the middle of the plate. His workload all year just for this, just for October.
The 1-2 struck him out swinging. Now there's one away, strikeout number 6. Sabathia, every inch an ace. Everything the Yankees wanted, they got with CC. You can hear in the background, they're all standing chanting CC. Here's the 1-2 to Abreu. A high fly to left. Damon right there makes the catch to end the inning. Mo Sabathia in his final inning goes 1-2-3. The Yankees win!
The 2-0. Ichiro to right and deep. Back goes Parra to the wall and it's off the wall! 3,000 is in right field and Ichiro is racing for third! And he's done it! He's climbed the mountain! A triple! And he has arrived at 3,000!
We're back, so let's get to the meat and potatoes of this. So you already know I would put Beltran on my Hall of Fame ballot. I think he eventually gets in. I don't know if he's going to get in this year. But I'll start with the Veterans Committee. So the Veterans Committee on the Classic Baseball Era ballot during the winter meetings voted in Dick Allen and Dave Parker. I thought it should have been Dick Allen and Kem Boyer. Kem Boyer, we just talked about David Wright. Kem Boyer was, you know, playing in a similar era as Eddie Matthews. Won 5 gold gloves, an MVP, 832 OPS, very similar to Scott Rolen. Surprised he's not in, I got to tell you. That really surprised me. He should have been elected along with Dick Allen. He wasn't. Shame on the Veterans Committee. Dick Allen, that's the guy. The fact that he wasn't elected in when the writers first started voting all those years ago when he retired is amazing. I mean, here's a guy from a 10-year period, OPS and of 940, played for a bunch of teams that probably hurt him. He was sixth in wins above replacement. Now, you didn't have that during that period when they were evaluating players. But, I mean, he's right there. You start to look at his numbers. You know, he's right there with his OPS plus, with his total production, with Willie Mays, Frank Robinson, albeit later in those guys' careers, but still very good players. Joe Morgan, Willie McCovey. That's some serious names to be hanging out with, and wasn't known for his defense, so you know maybe he would have been more of he wouldn't have maybe been a corner guy or a first baseman if the DH was around earlier in his career, and I think that that's where maybe he got pinched a little. I don't know. I wasn't around, obviously, and we didn't have this show when he was up for election. But great player, maybe will go down as one of the more underrated Hall of Famers. Now, Dave Parker, Nothing against Dave Parker. And Dave Jordan, who wrote the book with Dave Parker, a good friend of mine. And maybe as we get closer to the Hall of Fame scenario, we'll get Dave on. But Dave Parker, with his early Pittsburgh years up until 1979, was a Hall of Famer. OPS of 900. You know, same as Allen, you know, on par with Hall of Fame outfielders with his numbers and his trajectory, like Aaron, Kiner, Mays. And not similar to David Wright. Wright fell off the cliff for different reasons. And there's always been talks, you know, the Pittsburgh drug trials, switching teams to Cincinnati, you know, all this stuff. But when he went to the Reds, he still was a very good player, and he had a couple of Hall of Fame seasons. And Mets fans probably remember him most for dropping the fly ball in 86 in that wild extra inning game. But he was very good. You know, OPS in the high 700s, not the same Gold Glove outfielder, obviously a little bit older. And I think everybody looked at Parker's talent. He's struggling with some health issues. Maybe that played into it a little bit. And you know, having that MLB Network show, there's all that politics that comes into this. So the Veterans Committee put Parker in. I don't believe Parker's the Hall of Famer. Sometimes I wonder if the Veterans Committee, because of steroids, because of some of the crazy numbers that have come up from the 90s with smaller ballparks, expansion, I wonder if they have a soft spot maybe for some of these 1960s, 1970s, or maybe that tweener era, this the mid to late 70s to the mid 80s, where they say, hey, those guys were not having some of the same advantageous situations as the late 80s into the 90s steroid era guys. But, you know, look, congratulations to Dave Parker. I think Dick Allen certainly is a Hall of Famer. Dave Parker's not. And I thought Ken Boyer should have been elected. Now, Carlos Gonzalez, Curtis Granderson, Ian Kinsler, Troy Tulowitzki, Ben Zobrist, Hanley Ramirez, Torrey Hunter, Fernando Rodney. I'm not going to get into that. I mean, I love Curtis Granderson. He was a Met. He was a big part of the 15-team Hall of Fame candidacy for all these players. They all had great impacts on their clubs, but they're not Hall of Famers. We're not getting into that. Now, getting into the guys coming back, I think there's going to be two controversial parts to this show. I think the first one is, I am truly in the camp, and I think he's going to make it. The more I look at Ryan Thibodeau, he's gained up 10 votes. I think he's going to sneak in. Billy Wagner is not a Hall of Famer, and this isn't sour grapes over 06, because that series, Aaron Holloman giving up that home run, Wagner struggled that entire series. He almost blew it game earlier in game six as he struggled to get a save. Billy Wagner was dominant at times to Philadelphia. Dominant at times at Houston. Maybe the best closer during that era this side of Mariano. But he was awful in the postseason, not just with the Mets. ERA over 10. When he came back from Tommy John surgery, he cut his career short to spend time with his family. That has nothing to do with it. You can't put, and the closer is where the Hall of Fame becomes the Hall of Very Good very quickly. If you start taking a commoditized stat and putting these guys in the Hall of Fame. I'm not even sure Lee Smith or Trevor Hoffman's a Hall of Famer. If I would keep those guys out, there is no way I'm putting Billy Wagner in. Mariano Rivera, the gold standard, the Babe Ruth of closers. Goose Gossage, Hall of Fame closer. Dennis Eckersley revolutionized the position. In some ways, Rivera had longevity, but when Eckersley was the closer at his height in Oakland, might have been better than Rivera. He's right there. Billy Wagner's not a closer. Now, the analytics guys have been throwing tantrums. There's been campaigns by Billy. Billy has shunned writers who don't agree. He's not a Hall of Famer. His postseason alone, to me, doesn't put him in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he had enough elite seasons. He's nowhere near the class of Rivera. He was very good with the Mets. We didn't know when the Mets signed him. His arm was starting to go, but not a Hall of Famer. Okay, so I'm going to put that there. Andrew Jones, every bit the defensive player that Willie Mays was during his career. I think his case is a little bit better than people think. He is a top 10 all-time center fielder in WAR. I certainly would put Carlos Beltran in the category defensively. Jones is tricky because he came out very young. He was a very good part of those late 90s Braves teams. But he was a power hitter. but he was very good. He was a very good player. Now, later in his career, he developed some immense power in 05, 06, hitting 51 and 41 home runs. About a quarter of his home runs came in a couple of year periods there. And then at the age of 30, he fell off a cliff. I mean, when you start to look at these guys, and you, not to get off track here, look, you know, listen to Pete Alonso and what we've been talking about. Age of 30 is kind of like that witching hour. Known for his glove, obviously a little bit of a hot dog. I just think he's very good. When you look at his numbers, he's very good. He's not a Hall of Famer, so I would not put him in. The Philadelphia trio, Abreu, Utley, Rollins, out of the three, I think Jimmy Rollins is the most overrated. Jimmy Rollins had that MVP season in 07, in 00, you know, we're the team to beat. He was a pest. He certainly was a good player. But when you really look at Jimmy Rollins, he was a below league average hitter for his career. I think he was more media hype. Again, very good. We watched those Phillies teams. A guy that embraced the moment, won that MVP. But you can't put him in the Hall of Fame. And even when he won that MVP, you could argue that that season wasn't nearly even as good as some of Reyes' top seasons. Really, it's amazing. Utley's a little bit more of a case because he was arguably right there with Cano, the best second baseman in that era. And Bobby Abreu, you know, similar to how, you know, Dick Allen had these Moneyball stats, you know, Abreu had some periods where he was an elite player when it came to offense. Not so great, even though he's, I think he won a gold glove. Let me check here. Yeah, he won a gold glove, but he was not a good in 05. He was not a good outfielder. I mean, he had a period probably from 1999 to about 04 where you could argue, and maybe he was on a Hall of Fame trajectory. Kind of went to the Yankees, still a very good player, wasn't the same. 4 or 5 years is not enough for me to put somebody in the Hall of Fame. So Utley's the closest one. Utley's actually starting to get some support. It looks like he gained about 21 votes. That might be a further examined, and maybe when I tell you who I'm going to put in, you might say, if you put him in, how can you not put Utley? But the Philadelphia trio is not Hall of Famer. Andy Pettitte, outstanding career of 256 wins. I think he's a closer Hall of Fame case than people think. Who can forget Game 5 of the 96 World Series? Never won a Cy Young. It was never good enough to get many All-Star games. I think longevity played into that. The funny part is when you start to look at Hall of Famers like Don Drysdale and Jim Bunning, you know, there's a lot of Hall of Fame comps for a lot of pitchers from the late 90s, 2000s. You know, Mark Burley, who's a guy I would say no as well because he was a guy that, you know, threw strikes, navigated a lot of base runners, didn't dominate, but won ball games, could also be put in that category. I'm not dinging Andy for steroids. It's funny, though, he gets such a pass from the media. Now, he's nowhere near close. He's only got 32.5% of public valid support as of this show. But he's also gained quite a bit of votes, about 21 votes, similar to Utley. So momentum is starting to shift a little bit in his favor. And he's got another 3 years on the ballot. So it makes you wonder. And I'll tell you what, if Cece Sabathia gets in, and he will, clearly will, maybe you have to look at Pettitte a little bit more. Omar Vizquel is Ozzie Smith. And I know the off-the-field issues pretty much eliminates him. He's basically Ozzie Smith without the backflips. I think he doesn't have that magical moment like Ozzie had in the playoffs. He's not that marketed media darling, even when he played. He was just a really good shortstop. But if he had another 123 hits and got to 3,000... Again, he probably would have got in. I don't know when the off-the-field stuff was reported. He'd be in. I mean, that's the amazing Pete. He's eighth year on the ballot. He probably gets in. He's Ozzie Smith with 3,000 hits. That just shows you some of the... Now, 3,000 hits is a lot of hits, but the arbitrary nature of this process. You know, I mentioned Mark Burley. Again, a guy I wouldn't put in. Now, here's the guy that, before I get to Sabathia, let me go, because Sabathia is the one that does the most conversation. Felix Hernandez, 2 or 3 elite Hall of Fame seasons. He's the reason why we don't worry about pitchers' wins anymore. He was the godfather of that. You can't put him in because of that. Maybe he wins another Cy Young Award if Zach Greinke doesn't have the outstanding 2009. But Felix Hernandez, you can't put somebody in. But his seasons, the 2 or 3 seasons he had a 170 ERA plus, dominant player. Maybe he didn't win a lot of games because he wasn't playing for great Seattle offensive teams, but a lot of games. Look, let me just some of the returning guys before I get to Sabathia. You know Manny Ramirez and Alex Rodriguez, if you've been listening to the show, they're Hall of Famers. I mean, Manny is an elite hitter. 335 batting average against lefties, 996 career OPS, top 25 in RBIs all time, over 500 home runs. He's every bit Frank Thomas, Miguel Cabrera, A-Rod, you know, elite run creator in the mold of Aaron and Greenberg, Mays. He might go down as the best right-handed hitter of that generation. They'll never forgive him for his personality. They'll never forgive him for the steroids. I don't know if he'll ever get elected by the BBWAA. It'll be interesting many, many, many years down the road. He probably would have to have some sort of campaign, but he's not getting in, but he's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best right-handed hitters of all time. And another what if with the 06, 07, 08 Mets. Imagine if they were able to grab him for the Red Sox and add him to that lineup, what that team could have been. Amazing. A-Rod, the thing about A-Rod, without getting too deep in it, because I think everyone's A-Rodded out from him, you know, over the years, is that the player he was in Seattle, the 40-40 player, the gold glove shortstop, if he had just stayed that player and not got involved in all the nonsense, forget the off-the-field stuff and the page six stuff, the steroids, trying to hit a zillion home runs, that might be one of the best players of all time. I mean, think about a shortstop. History of baseball, especially before the 90s, shortstops were shorter guys, defense first, no power. A-Rod took that mold, and Cal Ripken was maybe the first to take that mold. He took Cal Ripken and brought it to the next level. So think about that. So it's a shame what happened. I think eventually on a vets committee, maybe he gets in. He's done his media tour. He's in the media. I don't know. That's going to be a tough one. A-Rod and Manny Ramirez both, I think, are never going to get in because of the fact that they have the steroids and they just don't have the media connection. There's so much negativity around them, and I don't think the vets committee will forgive them. But look, 20 years, 15 years down the road, the composition of the vets committee, things could change. Now, let's get to the first-timers. Now, you know, I already talked about Beltran in the first part of the show. You have first-timers that I think deserve, and I would put, now the last two I'd put in, well, I'm kind of jumping here, but let me start with the last two I get in and then Sabathia. I'm just telling you right now, I don't think Sabathia is a Hall of Famer. Okay, I'm going to tell you that now. You're going to think I'm crazy, but bear with me. There's two first-timers that I would add with Beltran. Okay, so far I would put Manny Ramirez in, A-Rod in, Beltran in. I would add Dustin Pedroia and Ichiro Suzuki. Now, I think Pedroia is going to be as controversial as CeCe Sabathia. Pedroia is like, well, Mike, if you say no to Utley, how do you justify Pedroia? He has a special blend of analytics and on-the-field variables. Now, from a 10-year period when he broke out with the Sox in 07, only Robinson Cano had more WAR. By the way, Robinson Cano is a Hall of Famer. I'll tell you that. Not up for eligibility, but that'll be a whole other conversation, okay? Utley did most of his damage in a five-year period instead of fall-off. Pedroia was the heart and soul of three Boston championships during that 10-year period. And he won a gold glove. He won three gold gloves. He won an MVP, Rookie of the Year. And Big Poppy is this big bat. We know what Big Poppy meant to those Red Sox teams. And obviously, he's you know, doing the Fox shtick there on the pre and post game. So he's also a media guy. But Pedroia is like that back in heart and soul. You know, gritty guy. You need guys like Pedroia. And yes, is he more Mazeroski than Robbie Alomar? And is Utley more Robbie Alomar than Pedroia? Yes. But I think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I think when you put the blend together, these are the kind of guys that over the history of baseball, if it's just about stats, you don't need voters. You just put a line in the sand. Pedroia, to me, is a Hall of Famer. Now, the other one, Ichiro Suzuki, that's a no-brainer. Elite player, two professional leagues, two continents. When a player is known by their first name, you know they're good, and it's not because he's been created some kind of goofy media narrative. He played in his prime with PED performers. I never saw Pete Rose play, but I think Ichiro's as close to a modern-day Pete Rose that you're ever going to see. from me looking at videos. I'd love to hear from those who did see both play. MVP and Rookie of the Year. You know why he's a Hall of Famer? A-Rod leaves. Seattle goes to the ALCS. The following year, yes, they lost to the Yankees, but they won a record 116 games with Ichiro. So you lose arguably one of the top players of all time in A-Rod. You gain Ichiro. And I tell this story. I remember, and I can't remember if it was Peter Gammons who it was, but they were talking to Bobby V, who had managed in Japan, his first stint in Japan, and knew a little bit about Ichiro. You know, what's a comp? Everybody said his comp is Kenny Lofton. Not a horrible comp. And Bobby V was like, he's way better than Kenny Lofton. And people were like, way better than Kenny Lofton. Oh, he was. He was. Now, he played until he's 45. But I don't think the 3,000 hits in the States is a compilation. Maybe he played a couple of years too long and it hurt his overall numbers. I think he's going to be, like, I'm checking for an update here on Thibodeau's tracker. He's going to be, yeah, he's at 100%. I don't think, and I know they're going to ding, okay? He's at 100%. Mariano Rivera is the only 100%er. It's going to drive Yankees fans nuts because Jeter didn't get it. But Ichiro is a Hall of Famer. So my ballot is Beltran, Ramirez, Pedroia, A-Rod, Suzuki. I would have obviously voted for DeGallen if I was on the Veterans Committee, and I would have added Ken Boyer to that, not Dave Parker. Now, Sabathia. I have no problem with Sabathia being named a Hall of Famer. I'm amazed at the fact that he's at 92% support in public ballots and more than likely will just breeze in. There are other comps statistically to Sabathia's candidacy, like I mentioned Bunning and Drysdale and guys like that. So it's not like there's no precedent. But as I said in the beginning, you can't just go by precedent here. You look at Hall of Fame numbers here, and I'm trying to bring up... Here we go. So, you know, Hall of Famers like Bob Feller, who played a long time, you know, total stats. I mentioned Marichal is very similar in terms of total numbers. Drysdale. Nothing Bunning. Nothing wrong with that. But the minute and I know he had a really good period, 06, 07, 08. I mean, what he did dragging the Brewers after he came over from Milwaukee in 08, beating the Mets into the wild card. I mean, he's the reason the 08 Mets to make the playoffs. The 08 Mets, you could say, collapsed, played poorly again against the Marlins down the stretch. But Sabathia and how he dragged the Brewers to the playoffs had a lot to do with it. So he's intertwined there. But if you talk about Sabathia in totality, was very good before the elite run of 06 to 09, 10, 11, you want to put it in there. He fell off the cliff later part of his career, hung on a little bit. I mean, we were talking about how he was going to be the last 300-game winner when he started pitching for the Yankees. Figured he's going to pitch for the Yankees. He's going to pitch well enough to get to 300. And he just fell off the cliff. And the total numbers are in this where if you vote for him, you could make the argument that Pettit deserves it. Maybe Mark Burley deserves it, although Mark Burley's secondary numbers. He's hanging out with other very good pitchers. Brett Saberhagen, Chuck Finley, David Cohn. None of those guys are Hall of Famers. All of them had periods where they were some of the best pitchers in baseball, like Sabathia. And here's where Sabathia wins over a lot of the guys. I'm listening to MLB Network Radio, like I said last night. And I don't know if it was Jim Memolo. I don't want to name somebody. I know A.J. Ramos used to pitch for the Marlins. The Mets is doing a show now in the evenings. And basically, they're like, well, if I had even 3% of much cool as CeCe Sabathia, I'd be this much cool. You know, some kind of goofy, you know, a guy who's not cool trying to be cool says stuff like that. So basically, you like the guy. You think he's cool. You think he's got, you know, I'm going to sound like a dork here, flair, like the old Office Space thing. I think he does a podcast. You know, maybe he wears his hat, you know, and his fashion sense is modern, whatever. And that's why he's a Hall of Famer. Look, I can't argue with you putting him in. I mean, from 06, and I'll bring it up, to 2012, a decent period. He had an ERA plus of 140, won 122 ball games, won 68% of his games, ERA 3.14. He is a Hall of Famer from age 25 to 31. And if you have guys like Catfish Hunter in there and Drysdale and Bunning, I can't argue. But in that era, a clear Hall of Famer is Roy Halladay. He just stands out above the rest. Sabathia's numbers during that period are not that much different than Johan Santana's. And I love Johan. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. Maybe if he hadn't gotten hurt and didn't have the shoulder issues, maybe it certainly could be different. But if you're putting Sabathia in, you got to look closer at all those other names. I just brought up Saberhagen and Cone and Burley and Santana. And he's not Roy Halladay. For those periods he was, it's not enough. You know, if you are going to have a Hall of Famer, you have to kind of look at a shorter period of dominance needs to have better overall numbers. A career ERA of 3.74. Yes, the 251 wins. Maybe in the era where wins are becoming scarcer, you could make that argument. I'm not saying that going into the Hall of Fame is crazy. But his ERA with the Yankees was 3.81. He won about 60% of his games with the Yankees. He won a little less than 60% with Cleveland. Obviously, his 11-2 record and 1.65 ERA and 17 starts with Milwaukee is a big part of his legacy. But he's not. I'm sorry. I would not vote for CC Sabathia. Look, if you go back and you start looking at Drysdale and Bunning, and I'm not going to do that today, you could argue maybe it's too big. And I'm not for a small haul. But I think that we've expanded the boundaries into that. Those guys that are on that Hall of Very Good, Hall of Fame, which they could, you know, push one way or the other, I think we're pushing a lot of them over. And this is also guys like Jack Morris. But Jack Morris had historical moments. I mean, yes, maybe that Minnesota World Series moment. But, you know, CeCe Sabathia had that with Milwaukee. I just don't know if it's enough. You know, his postseason numbers aren't anything special at all. I mean, with the 09 Yankees, he was really, really good in the ALCS against the Angels. So maybe that's part of it. I'm telling you, Sabathia now has to give all these writers, and maybe they will, a look a little bit closer at Pettit. Really. So, you know, where do I think it'll go? You heard my ballot. So Beltran, Ramirez, Pedroia, A-Rod, Suzuki. You know, maybe I didn't give Beltran enough his due because I bundled into Wright. I mean, Beltran to me, especially now as he emerges as an executive, not that that plays into that. Maybe like with Dick Allen, a very underrated, great player. But I don't think Beltran will make it. I think in the end, Ichiro, obviously, Sabathia will make it. Dick Allen and Dave Parker already made it. I think, you know, originally I felt earlier as before the public ballots came out, that Billy Wagner would fall short. I think Wagner will get in. I think that that's just lowering the closer bar a lot. But it'll be interesting. I guess he goes in as an Astro. Not guess, he will. But another Met, you know, another Met from that era. So I think, you know, just to wrap it up here, I think that with Wagner probably getting into the Hall of Fame, with Beltran getting close, and maybe, like I said, there's some data that says he's got about a 25% chance. With Beltran getting close, and then obviously with Wright's number being retired, I think it's a year of 2025 where it's been nearly two decades. The 06 Mets were really where the yoke was, we talk about all the time, was really starting to form and put the fan base in a weird spot in the franchise in this, you know, the old Greek mythology, Sisyphus there, you know, that's kind of like, you know, the rock up the hill that kept falling down and this LOL Mets and all the other things that the Mets right now are trying to break through. I think the 06 Mets were almost sort of like the enhancement to that. You know, you had some of the disappointment from the 80s and what happened in the 90s and the Yankees and the Yankee dynasty, but they are, and they've looked at it. They're almost like the weird uncle that nobody wants to talk about. But now with Wagner getting into the Hall of Fame potentially, Beltran knocking at the door, Wright's number retirement, it's time to look at that era, talk about it, talk about the fun that, it was a ton of fun, those teams, the huge disappointments and agitation, and maybe, you know, an era in Mets history where some of you younger fans who always email me and say, I'm tired of hearing about the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, well, maybe it's time to look and examine that a little bit more when we do our look backs and things like that. Maybe we will do that. So, again, just to wrap up, my ballot, Beltran, Manny Ramirez, Dustin Pedroia, Alex Rodriguez, Ichiro Suzuki, no Sabathia. I approve of the Dick Allen election. Wish Kem Boyer got in. And, you know, I have nothing against CeCe Sabathia. I'll even say this. Nobody wants to put Curt Schilling in because of politics. How can you not put Curt Schilling in if you put Sabathia in? Really? There's so many other pitchers. And maybe this is something we talk more about at some point. Maybe as we, you know, there's so many pitchers now in this, you know, you have to expand the variance here. And granted, you know, the dominant periods that pitchers have sometimes, like Koufax has such a dominant period that you could look past the cumulative numbers. But even you look at Drysdale, I don't think Don Drysdale's a Hall of Famer. I think he's a really good pitcher. Don Drysdale's not a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. Just not. You want a Cy Young, just not, you know? And you know, maybe that's, again, that's a whole nother story for another day. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Hall of Fame vote later this afternoon. Enjoy it, you know, and I guess we'll go back to our regularly scheduled free agency hot stove, cold stove program. Mets trying to round out the roster, less than a month away from pitchers and catchers. This is our respite. And usually by now, the rosters have kind of formed and we're getting to that dead period of hot stove. This year, no, especially with the fact that the Pete Alonso conversation is still very alive and well. So we'll see where that goes. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to this part two edition. Apologize for it being a little bit later, but figured I'd release it on the day of the Hall of Fame announcement. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You get me on X at TalkingMets, no G, and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetspodcast.com, no G, Mike Silva at TalkingMetspodcast.com. You get me on Instagram, TalkingMets, no G, and I'd love for you to subscribe to the newsletter, Substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And I want to thank the good folks at FanSided Podcast Network for supporting this show. I'm yours, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll be back with another podcast this Sunday. Till then, take care, everybody. Meet the Mets. Head for the park.